Last days. We are so privileged that you have given ears and hearts to us to understand, to appreciate, to digest your living word. And may this word be indeed living for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to familiar verses, chapters, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. This needs no introduction, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to quicken his word again to us today. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then bring evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. And I want to couple with this, as I often do, with again something very familiar, because we need to bring this in context with it in Mark 11:24, which I will just read briefly. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And the reason that I've added Mark 11:24, because I still think there is some confusion with regard to this, and also with regard to what Jesus said also in Matthew 7. And I trust that this will come out and be highlighted, that we can always be corrected, that we know what God is saying. But there are three words for receiving. And I'm calling our teaching today, don't stop knocking, seeking, asking. Don't stop knocking, seeking, asking. Because that's precisely what Jesus says here. Some of us are under the impression, well, I've already received, so that's it, so be it. But it's not what Jesus fully says. We have to take all the scriptures in harmony and context. There are three key words here: asking, seeking, knocking. And as I believe God has interpreted and showed me, if you're a man or woman of prayer and walking and consecrated before God, those three things that he requires of us is going to occupy much of our time and our prayer life. And some of us are not receiving because we're not so occupied with some of these things that Jesus asks us and requires of us. And remember that for our prayers to be answered, we have to meet those spiritual principles, which we don't always like at times, because we feel sometimes, well, am I ever going to learn these principles? Is it ever going to happen? Am I ever going to receive? I'm sick and tired of learning these principles and so on. Well, you can either let it be a principle, a law, or you can hear it by grace. You can hear it as deliverance. You have that choice. You see, however we're going to listen today and to the teachings we have is how we're going to live and act it. And if we're still approaching the Word of God in an academic way or an legalistic way, then that's how your faith is going to be. Or are you going to come and receive the word that this is refreshing water today? This is new water, not like water we had even yesterday or last week or whatever it is. Every time we come, we are refreshed, we are washed out. It is always new. Therefore, we receive it in that spirit. And there's a lot of Christians, believers, and sadly even in this body, where saints don't receive it in that light. And they wonder why they go through and feel like they are. And I trust that this will indeed be a deliverance for us today. Remember, the three key words are asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, we have learnt and are learning that all that God is teaching us is in the sense of relationship. All that we are receiving is in order that we start to mature and grow as sons of God. And so we need to bear and keep this in mind, because this also is given to us with our walk and relationship that we have with Jesus. For example, he says first about asking. Well, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a marriage, if you are a part of a family, and you have siblings, and you have a mother and a father and so forth, that relationship is made up at times of asking. For example, if somebody's going out to do some shopping and you find that you're rather short of milk, you ask that person, could you buy some extra milk? We're a bit short. That's what you do, don't you? Or have I got it wrong? And that's what you do with God. Because life, the way life is, we at times have to ask for things. It's the way it is. Sometimes I found myself, Lord, I'm sorry, here I am again, asking. And I can't help it because life seems just to work that way. Needs come up. There are things we need. There are things we need to ask. But it never takes God by surprise. And God has put that there for a reason. He knows life. He knows that we live in a fallen world. He knows that there are things that we need. And so we are finding ourselves daily having to ask. You have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. And sometimes we can learn to ask for the wrong things. And so, in family life, there are things that we ask. You have asked things of your parents, and sometimes your parents have had to say no. For example, you may have been a child of 11 years old and said, "Daddy, will you buy me a car?" Well, Daddy isn't going to buy you a car. It's obvious. You couldn't be trusted at 11 with a car. Well, one or two might, but overall, you know, you wouldn't. There's just some things you don't buy. Now, you're not going to leave your son and say, "No, you're not having a car. Don't bother me." You sit down and explain to him why it wouldn't be wise for him at the age of 11 to have a car. Now, whether he accepts it or not is another thing. He might battle with it for a while, but in time he will learn, you see. And so God has to do the same with us. He's ever teaching us to ask for the right things. And those right things He reveals and shows to us in the Word of God. But we need the Holy Spirit to interpret that to us. Otherwise we can say, "Oh well, the Word of God says you can't have that. It's no good even asking because it's there in the Word." But we need that to be shown to us by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise it's just simply law. It's a letter. There's been times when I've asked things of God, knowing in my heart that I'm asking wrong. I'm knowing that that's not really in God's word, but I'll have a go. And we've all done it. And if we don't receive it or whatever, it doesn't come as a shock. We tried it, didn't we? The same as children try it with parents. I said to you this was about relationship. This is where we so miss this. We all of us have been to school. The law says that we're to have an education. Well, in education, teachers, if a good teacher, I'm told, who teaches well and inspires their students, one of the things a teacher should be able to do is, in their teaching, work within the students to create within them to ask questions. That is a good teacher. A good teacher is one who loves to hear with what they're teaching, to see a hand go up and ask, in the context of what has been taught, asking questions. And a good teacher will never say, "Oh, put your hand down. Don't bother me now." That is not good teaching. So education encourages students to ask questions. It comes back to this asking. God encourages us to ask Him. If we can't ask God, then there's nobody else who we can really ask. Because if human beings will attempt to give us the answers they can, how much more can we and will we receive from God, who knows all things? Sometimes in education, as we're growing up, we need to ask the teacher how to spell a word. Well, that teacher is going to encourage us how to learn that word, even if it means, "Now I want you to go to this dictionary. Because this is where you're going to learn the word to spell." A lot of our spelling in my days, which would be regarded as very old-fashioned, but words were put up on the board, and we had to write that word out 10 times. But it was a way of getting it in. The same with our tables, in maths and so forth. It was getting it into you, becoming part of you. Our neighbour. We can talk to our neighbours sometimes. And we're finding ourselves, we're just getting in the car, we're not sure of the journey where we're going, and we see the neighbour next door and say, oh, by the way, do you know where to get to so-and-so? And they said, yeah, I know where we can go. And they explain to us and tell us where to go. You wouldn't have known where to have gone if you hadn't asked. You have to ask in life. Sometimes I've been up in London, I've got lost, and suddenly I've seen a policeman or someone, and I stop and I ask them, could you direct me to wherever it is to go? Otherwise you're going to go a long, long way round in your journey. Some people are afraid to ask. There's a fear. And we can carry those phobias over with us with God. So there is this idea of asking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek. He says here, seek, and you will find. So, we then come to this idea of seeking. Now, to seek out something means that we sometimes have to wait, we have to work out something, we may be seeking out some information, which means that I've got to go to some contacts, or I've got to look through a certain book, or I need to seek out a number, telephone number, go to the directory. We seek out information. Also the same in education. As you learn, and of course as you go on to university, you often have to use a library. And a library, of course, is filled with books because you are seeking out information. You're finding out something. Well, of course, if we take this over to the spiritual, we have the Word of God. And so in the Word of God, here we are today, we are learning about the Word of God. We are seeking truth. We are seeking new things, greater revelation, all of which we know that the Word of God sets us free. This truth does. It's the way we are, because we can't take in everything straight away. It is a process of learning, of seeking, you see. But it's also seeking the Lord. He says, if you seek after me with all your heart, you will be found of me. God loves his people to wait on him, to learn about him, to seek him. Part of our waiting on God daily, which is part of our walk, is finding out, is seeking, inquiring after the Lord. Most of us in our walk, we are seeking, inquiring of God about certain things we have prayed on. I am. I'm waiting for that guidance. I'm waiting for God to speak. I'm waiting for him to set the scene. Otherwise we don't move. So this is also important with regard with the prayer of faith. We're talking about praying the prayer of faith, receiving answers to our prayer. He's talking here about to seek. Now, if you're not bothered about seeking God, little wonder that you have hindrance in your prayers. Some people just think, oh, just ask, that's all that's needed. But it doesn't stop there. It also, in that asking, it requires in that consecration that you daily meet up with God, that you seek after him, that you learn from him. That's part of the asking. So that also is important. So he says, you will find. There's the promise. You will find, if you seek, and you've got the right heart, you will get all the information and more and everything you need to know. Because if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free, as the Word of God says. Then he finally comes to these three words. Knock, and it will be open to you. Most of us, in our life, it is required for us to knock on a door or to ring the bell. And that is the only way you are going to find out if somebody is there or not. And sometimes you can go and knock on a door, ring on the bell, and you know somebody's in there, but they're not going to answer. You know it because you saw the curtain move slightly. And so you think, okay, they're not going to answer the door, but I'll come back again tomorrow. You know, I'll keep at it until finally they open it. And some people are like that. Some people just don't want to answer the door, or they look to see who it is first. And of course we have today tradesmen and that come, so a lot of people put notices up on the door or on the windows, no trade here, and so forth. So of course they know there's no point knocking there because it's not going to be, the door's going to be open to them. But God doesn't do that to us. He actually encourages us to knock. Why does he encourage us to knock? Because God is in. That's why. He's not out. You can knock any time and you will find God is in. But God will not always open the door immediately when you want it. And I suggest to you why he doesn't always open the door straight away. He will, because our faith believes he will. Because sometimes we have not met the conditions in asking. Or we have not met the conditions in seeking. But when we get all of that right, I can assure you, he will open the door. Because he is faithful. Why do I say that? Because he says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. So there are three areas that consume much of our prayer life. Now, if these three sort of principles are not in operation, then something is wrong with your prayer life. Something is going amiss. It's going awry. And you need to seek God as to what is going wrong. And this could be why you are not receiving answers to your prayers. Now, the most important verse, I believe, and we so often key in to those first two verses, but I believe the most important verse in the context of what Jesus is speaking about here is actually to be found in verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. And we're going to look at that later on, but I want us just to bear that now in mind. Because everything which we do for the glory of God, our prayer life, these three principles that we are just spoken about in prayer, can and will only ever be operative when love is motivated in our hearts. And this is one of the biggest hindrances to be found in the house of God. But let's look at some scriptures first to just back up with what we've been looking at. Again, you know all of these, but I think it's important we look at these in John 11, John chapter 11 and verse 22, because John also picks this up about asking God. John 11 and verse 22. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Amen. That's what she said for her brother to be raised up. Whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She was learning. She was learning. Let's look at chapter 14 of John's Gospel. Chapter 14 and verse 14. Let's take it from 12. Verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is all confirming what we have just been talking about. Those three principles of asking, seeking, and knocking. Let's turn to chapter 16 and verse 23. Chapter 16 and verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So there's a joy to be found in this asking and receiving. And of course there is. There's nothing like a saint's face when manifestation comes and they can't wait to give a testimony. You want to see the face. It's just lit up. The joy is there. It's so wonderful because you know that's the mighty hand of God answered your faith. That's a joy. There's a joy about that. And that's why we need to remember those things and not let them go. When sometimes we're going through those deep valleys when it just sits and seems our faith is working. Think upon those times when God has answered your prayers. Hallelujah. And how about 1 John chapter 5? 1 John. John chapter 5 and verse, let's take it from verse 14. 1 John 5 verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, we have been speaking about his will, what his will is. Those three words, asking, seeking, knocking. And he says here in verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we know that there is a knowing in faith when we ask God. And that knowing is peace. That knowing is that anchoring. That knowing is not striving. That knowing is not keeping to God and reminding him, Lord, you haven't forgotten, have you? You see, we use Mark 11:23 really in the spirit of, Lord, you haven't forgotten, have you? I thank you, Father, I've received. I thank you, I've received. But really the motive behind that is, Lord, are you hearing? You know, you haven't forgotten, have you? But we like to cover that up with Mark 11:23. That's not what Mark 11:23 is about. It's knowing you have received. That is the point. And if you're doing that just to remind God in case he didn't hear, and using Mark 11:23 as to justify, you ain't going to receive. Sorry. It comes out in numerous ways. Actually, when you have received, I don't believe you actually have to work it up. Confession knows how to speak. Sometimes I have found just when I'm praying or praising, it just suddenly has come out. Praise God. That has come by the Spirit, you see. It's still a little bit too mechanical at times, isn't it? But we're learning, praise God. He's patient with us. Also, what does it James have to say? We know much in this. Let's turn to the book of James. James 1. verses 5 and 6. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. You know, very often sometimes when preparing a message, one finds yourself asking wisdom behind that message, that teaching. Asking God in the delivery, give me that wisdom to be able to bring forth your word. What are we doing there? I'm asking God. Now, is God going to deny a preacher that who asks in a true, sincere heart? No. I don't even question that with regard to my preaching and teaching, because I believe he gives me that. And so I do what James tells me to do. I also ask not only for the unction of the Spirit, the anointing, which is so essential, but that wisdom that goes with it as well. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Because he says, if you doubt, you're like that wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And so it goes on. So again, it's all under the context of this asking. You see, our salvation throws us into asking. It's our spiritual survival, as I believe God showed me. You see survival in the world. This terrible tragedy that's just happened in the Philippines. And we've seen these most horrendous sights of what this storm did and this tidal waves that came in and so forth. It was just horrendous. Nothing stands. But what are you seeing in all of that? You're seeing survival. When there's not food, there's not water, the basics just to live. You see this tremendous survival begin to take over in humanity, because something within us wants to survive, to live. Throw you into water and immediately you attempt to swim, or will swim if you can swim. That's all about survival. What about our spiritual survival? I believe our spiritual survival is asking. Saints who become weak, indifferent, or fall away, it is because they're no longer asking, or not asking according to the will of God, because they're not bothered. They don't take it seriously. So this asking, and you can couple this with knocking and seeking as well, is in many ways our spiritual survival to make it in to the kingdom of God. But I believe also it comes out of this relationship. And this relationship that we have with Jesus is a relationship that we have with his word. Because you can't separate Jesus from his word. And so the two work together. And this is why we love the word. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's such an integral part of this walk. You cannot separate the word of God, sound doctrine, because out of it creates within us this desire, this desperate need to seek, to find, to knock, to ask of God. I believe years back I read somewhere that a preacher has not really preached or done his job unless through what he has done, he has created and stirred within the believers that desire to ask, to seek, and to knock. He's not really preached a sermon otherwise. And that is so true. So true. Now Jesus finished, and on an interesting note, and I've already touched on it, and we'll turn back to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I want us to look now at verse 12 as we bring this to its conclusion. To verse 12 of chapter 7. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And this is the key to receiving. This is the key to our walk with God. This is the key to relationship. This is the key to fellowship. This is the key for the body of Christ, the bride that makes herself ready. We call this the golden rule. The golden rule. And it's to be found in Leviticus. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Actually, verse 12. Okay, I want to take this from verse 12. Leviticus 19, verse 12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Here it goes. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honour the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbour. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbour. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbour and nor bear sin because of him. And verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. And there is the golden law. Quite self-explanatory, really. One really doesn't need to preach much more because it's all been there. I know that was given under the Mosaic law to the children of Israel, but that is a divine principle wrought through us through the working of the Holy Spirit. And true unity and fellowship is made up on that golden rule. That is our unity. You see, this is a big problem in the house of God. And he's always going to show us the hindrances if we wish to see and acknowledge them. And this is something that the Spirit is working amongst us. And this is why we have the message and the teaching of the cross, that we also, likewise as disciples, to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. It is that working, that putting to death in the flesh, which the cross is doing and will do if we allow the Spirit to do it. And the only way that that is ever going to be accomplished, as we know, is to have that desire and affection to yield over as the Spirit works within us what he requires of us to do. And of course, we don't always adhere to that straight away. But we are all of us in this walk, we all of us have areas where the Holy Spirit is requiring of us to yield over and allow the cross to do its work in order for true unity and fellowship in the body of Christ. Every area where you are still fighting, hindering, or running away from, yielding over to the Spirit, is a hindrance in you loving your neighbor with the love of Christ. You may think you are, but you are not. And therefore we wonder why we are not receiving with our prayers. You see, they become hindered. You may be saying to yourself, I can't love that person. It's just not in me. They bring the worst out in me. They're not somebody I would ever even consider in the world. And probably many of us can identify with that. But as we know, and we often say, God never makes a mistake. And so all of those that he brings, he baptizes into his body, God has not made a mistake. And therefore, you're going to have to look at your neighbor and decide whether you want to live with them in eternity or not. Because that's the question. I think most Christians in churches have never ever considered that they're going to have to live, if they want to, with that person for the rest of their life in glory. Ah, they say, but of course we're in our weakness now and God knows our indifference. He knows that we can't overcome all things and everything. And of course when we get into glory, it's all going to be different. We're going to have a new body, we're going to have a new mind, new attitude, new motives, you name it, and everything. Not totally. You're taking your soul with you into a glorified body. Your soul, you, doesn't die. And that is what God is working with. See? We want him to work with the flesh because we want things in the flesh now. We lust after the things of the flesh. You see, God's got it right. He sees differently to that. He's working with the soul, the character, the you. Because it's you that is going to enter into a new, either a new glorified body or a body that is fallen, which sadly has to go into hell. Either way, you go into something and you take it with you. This is why we're always saying, it's no good going somewhere else. It's no good thinking, well, the grass is greener on the other side, because it isn't. Whatever your trials, whatever you're going through, you will take it with you wherever you go. And we've got Christians today going from church to church, ministry to ministry, can't get on with this, can't get on with that, and so on, and they take it with them. You know? We all have baggage. All of us. It's what a fallen world has done. It is what sin has done. And this is why we're under this teaching that is delivering us and setting us free. And you have to settle on the fact that you love your neighbour as yourself. That you are willing, if it were called for, to lay your very life down for your brother and sister. That is the ultimate sacrifice. That isn't a doctrine. It starts as a doctrine, but it has to end in reality, into living, into a walk, you see? Otherwise, our prayers are hindered. It is no good us casting a blind eye to needs that are around us, and we do it so often, all the time. We have a way, don't burden me now, or I haven't got time for this, or I've gone through a terrible week. This is about the last thing I want to have to embrace. Not now, thanks. You know? Maybe tomorrow. But of course, you see, tomorrow never comes. You see, the Samaritan never casted a blind eye to the needs of that Samaritan that had been robbed and beaten up. He paid, as we know the story, for his healing, for his provision. And he was going to return to see that the money he had left had been profitable. It had done what he had asked for this man to be done, and to help him, to encourage him. That is the attitude, that is the motive that we're to have. Yet we still do it. We still dismiss our brother and sister. We still, at times, don't have time. Not now. I'm not feeling too good, or I've had a bad night, or whatever it is. That breeds this dismissive nature not interested in our brother or sister or whatever it is, that breeds. And we wonder why prayers are not being answered. You see, as I've closed now, this whole walk, your discipleship, everything that I've spoken about today isn't about you, isn't about me, it's about Jesus. It's about the one who lives his life in and through us. That is why he says, we decrease that he increases. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you again today. We need to hear these things. We need to be reminded, sadly, that you love us and you don't give up on us. And you want us to have a fruitful prayer life and a walk and relationship with you. You want us to have that peace and joy that can only be found in you. And we know, Father, how the enemy is really working. He's really firing his weapons on us now. We are aware, Father, that these weapons have got much stronger. These attacks, he's using his weapons that he has kept in these last days that he has to bring out. And we're aware of this, Father. We're aware this is the final onslaught. We're aware, Father, that we are in a spiritual battle. We are aware that the enemy is trying to destroy the bride now as she's making herself ready and so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would not be attacking like this unless he feared, unless there's a reason. It eventually always gives itself away. But your grace is sufficient. And we settle in that. And we draw from that. And we thank you today for this teaching, because you want us to get it right. And we thank you for that, Father. And so we can confidently leave this meeting today, knowing that you're with us, blessing us, leading us, guiding us, preserving us, keeping us, until we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus is